Welcome to SecurityGuyTV.com at Black Hat 2017, show number 40 or 50. I don't know where we are. We got lost. What's your name, sir?
Danny Rogers from Terbium Labs.
Now, when I hear the word labs, my radar goes up. I'm thinking those are the smartest guys in the room right there. Tell us what you guys do.
So we run a system called Matchlight, which is a fully private, fully automated dark web data intelligence system.
Oh, you love this stuff. She's a dark web junk.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She knows all about it.
Oh, exciting.
Excellent. Now, tell us what that means to the average, I guess not the average listener, but to my dumb listeners that don't get it.
So the dark web is a pretty poorly defined term that it kind of is used to capture the broader, nefarious parts of the internet, the places where, things are traded that wouldn't be traded in the typical commercial mainstream internet. So, stolen data, drugs, weapons, all these kinds of things. What we do is track that part of the internet, looking for indicators of compromise and measuring exposure to risk of our enterprise clients who are looking out for data breaches.
So I'm going to let you take this. You got a million questions. I know that.
I do. Thank you for being here.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So your enterprise clients, are they corporations or government agencies?
Mostly commercial. We try to provide a solution that's affordable to a very broad part of the market, and the way we do that is using automation. Mm-hmm. So we've developed a lot of ways to automate the intelligence cycle to measure this risk exposure and really provide a solution that's affordable to the broader market. So financial services, mid-market companies, in multiple verticals is really where we focus.
So are the threats, as you're seeing them, the internal and or external? So for example, internal, someone is going on a tour site and uploading content of an illegal nature to Macedonia. It's very savvy, obviously, doing so. Or is it more external, whereby an organized criminal network is using Bitcoin to launder money from a traffic?
It's a really good question. We really focus on the data exposure, right? So organizations' specific sensitive data, and we have a data fingerprinting method that we use to kind of privately create a signature of that allows us to search for specific signatures of their data without them having to kind of give us their copies of that data. And what that does is really help us focus on detecting specific indicators of compromise. And so that compromise can come from a number of different sources, right? It can be insider threats who are walking off with company assets. It can be accidental data spills, right? A laptop stolen from the back of a car. Or it can be some more malicious actor, using some exploit to steal payment card information from a point of sale system. So there's myriad ways for data to leave an organization. We focus on that fixed endpoint when that data is posted somewhere, either for sale or for vandalism or whatever the reason. Less focused on how it got there and more focused on alerting our clients the instant that it appears, with the eye towards minimizing the damage, right? The data really shows that the more quickly you detect that you have an issue, the less damage you that you incur. And so... So really it all comes down to detection speed, and that's why the automation is key here.
So I have seen a lot of weird things in my career, I got to tell you. Before they were on
the
internet,
I'm shocked.
Well, before they were on the internet, which made it more shocking because it was so isolated. It's like, what? Oh, my God, right? So here's my question. You're being hired by a private client, enterprise level probably. And I come to the example of Fox. We found at Fox and Disney, we found executives engaging in pedophilia stuff on the internet.
Wow.
This is in the 90s.
Wow.
When it was hard to do, all right? Soliciting young girls and pornography and all kinds of things. Now, we went after them as a company by firing them. We did some criminal prosecutions, right? But we're the first party. We're the employer, right? Now, you're outsourced, and you come across something that's criminal. And let's take the most egregious, which is human trafficking or sexual trafficking of kids. What are your obligations there, right?
Obligations are very clear in those cases.
Okay.
We work closely with law enforcement partners.
Yeah, even if your client doesn't want you to, you got to say, hey, listen, we're obligated under certain reporting rules or what?
It's very clear what one's responsibilities are there, and we're fully compliant and take whatever initiatives we need. But really, we serve the organizations to help them search for data. I mean, that's our focus is right. Data breach information. So often when data appears, it's the organization that's the victim here, especially when it comes to data breach activity, right? So that's more what we find is executives being doxxed at an organization. Think, board members being doxxed as part of a campaign to, say, protest some activity that they're engaging in. Or, data stolen from that organization used against them either for fraud or to, exploit some process or something like that. That's more what we see. And so we focus on working with those clients to help mitigate that risk.
The reason I ask is because, and I came from two studios, right? Fox is just no offense, fellas, but... Right? And I did investigations for both of them and started their investigation divisions. And the things I know, I wish I could unknow, right? But they're cities unto themselves, right? 5,000-10,000 employees in one place. It's a city, mini city. And when you come across this stuff, I hear a lot of people at their shows talk about protecting the client and the employee and the internal organization. But I'm just wondering if the internal threats are more than we hear about or think about. In other words, you follow me on this? It's like we're presenting that the corporations are the victims when in fact they could be the suspects in a lot of things internally, not as a corporation, but their employees, bad actors as employees.
Well, insider threats are a pernicious problem because they're very hard to detect, right? Often separating kind of insider or typical user behavior from malicious behavior is very difficult.
And you might not see that with your view because that's not your focus.
We don't see it inside the organization, but we'll see the indicator that something happened, right? And so this has happened a number of times where data appears somewhere that it shouldn't be, which triggers an internal investigation, which then uncovers an insider as the source.
Okay.
Typically, an organization would never have known to look kind of under that rock, so to speak, if we hadn't told them that they had an issue that they should they should know about, right? So that's really often the path whereby we can say uncover some insider activity is through that sort of external activity that says there's some hole in your defenses, internal or external, that you should take a look at and know about, and then that feeds back into their internal investigations and ultimately continuously improves the security posture of any organization.
So how big a problem is the deep web? Separate the myth from the fact about what's going on there.
That's a really good question. We do a lot of work kind of trying to go around explaining the truth about this part of the internet. Often there's an iceberg picture that's used to describe this where they say, some overwhelming fraction of the internet, 90% is actually beneath the surface,
right?
Yeah, and it's really not true.
Okay, good.
Most of the internet is legitimate. It's the internet that we use every day. There's a small but impactful portion that we call the dark web where nasty things are traded. And I wouldn't even say that the dark web is a problem per se, that things like Tor are kind of neutral technologies that have uses positive and negative, right? And Tor traffic itself isn't sort of prima facie kind of malicious by nature. It's merely a tool that folks use for subverting censorship and things like that. But it's also used to mask other activities, and so what we focus on are the activities, less about the technology involved, right? Of course, we monitor Tor and everything like that. A lot of the data we see is on what we would typically call the clear web, just sites where data breach activity is trafficked in, or data is trafficked in places that, say, law enforcement have trouble reaching at times. So so I think it's easy to become reductive about this argument or about this subject, and I think that the dark web gets kind of, or Tor gets a bad rap as part of this argument. But I think there is a problem. The problem is the activity, not the technology, really.
So, again, I love the word lab in there, but sounds expensive to a small business. Who can afford you?
Well, actually, that's a big part of our approach is really to automate this process in order to make it affordable to the broader market.
Good.
A lot of folks that have done this in the past, right, it's been very human-powered, very threat-focused, which is expensive intelligence to collect. And, applies to the very top of market companies. And, of course, we have applicability there, but our goal is to automate it to the point where we can actually serve the middle market and kind of democratize this function. I mean, the middle market gets hit just as hard as everyone else,
right.
But doesn't have nearly the defensive posture that, say, the top of market banks have. And so by we hope to help blaze the trail towards opening up advanced security technologies to, you know, the broader marketplace. By
what keeps you awake at night? What do you worry about?
I think that you know, just general trust in the internet, I think, is under siege right now. Whether it's, you know, rampant payment card theft, or, you know, the integrity of the content that we read, I worry that the kind of full economic potential of the internet is ultimately threatened by these issues, and that, you know, all the users who would normally engage would not engage because of, you know, perceived or real threats to their financials, to you know, the things they hold true, and I think that's really a potential limiting factor for, you know, achieving that full economic potential and the full benefit to society that the internet can provide.
So excellent.
That really is, I think we're in an era right now where it's kind of the Wild West on the internet, right? My favorite analogy is the high seas of 1750, right? You have pirates, yeah, and mercenaries and militaries and merchants out there. I think, you know, the solution is part technological, it's part policy, it's part training, and just part cultural. And I think as we mature, I think, you know, the next couple of decades is going to be a really interesting time in the history of the internet currently being written. So it's a very broad answer, but that's the kind of thing that keeps me up at night. We hope to be at least a force for good there.
We're doing 100 shows, and everybody gets asked that same question, and I get 100 different answers. All brilliant insights. Very interesting.
Well,
Danny Rogers, say it for me.
Terbium Labs.
TerbiumLabs.com.
Okay.
I'm sorry. TerbiumLabs for our podcast listeners. Thanks for coming on SecurityGuyTV.com at Black Hat 2017.
Thanks a lot.
Great interview. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.